We're really enjoying, I think if you've been coming regularly on Sunday nights, we've really been enjoying some powerful times of prayer, haven't we? I mean, this has been really great. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for continuing on. Pastor Jim's been doing such a wonderful job leading us kind of through the armor of God and into praying for all things. And so I began thinking about what I was going to share this night and kept thinking, well, God, they've heard about all you can hear on praying. I mean, and you got Jim Bradford. I mean, he's a man alive. He's just slaying it up here on the prayer. And it's like, oh my gosh, I've never even heard that before, you know, and those kinds of things. And I felt like the Lord just said, I want you to talk about prayer more. And I said, oh no, God. No, let's not do that. And would you believe I had a couple of appointments this week with some married couples, and I just thought since I was talking about prayer, I would just ask them about prayer, see if I could get any sermon material, you know what I'm saying? So I said, tell me about your prayer lives. And I'm not kidding, both different people, not related or anything like that, both of them, they would point to, one person would point to the other and say, they're the praying person. They're the praying person. And I just want to tell you that praying is all of our responsibility. And it's really not a responsibility. I mean, it is, but it's a privilege. The Bible tells us God hears us. What? He created the way that we communicate to him so that we will hear him. So I'd like to throw out a challenge to you. Now, I know for some of you this will not be a challenge at all, but I've been thinking about what if we could get 500 to 750 people praying at least an hour a day in our church. Can you imagine what God could do right here on 1301 Boonville if we could get that kind of army praying on a regular basis? So I'd like to painfully and practically go through something that I learned. It's not original to me, but something that I learned. The teaching is going to be original, but the acrostic is not. That I has helped me learn to pray. I think there was a guy by the name of Pastor Eastman that came out with this many years ago, and it was called The School of Prayer. And pray simply stands for praise, repent, ask, and yield. And I'm going to go through those, but we're going to interact on these points in some creative ways. I hope that it works tonight. And I also believe that if you're stuck in a rut, that this will help you. And you may say, well, what's the magic time thing with an hour? Well, there's nothing special about an hour. I'm throwing out that as a challenge, because for some people, the idea of praying an hour might as well be climbing Mount Everest. I mean, there's just no way. What are you kidding me? But you know what? If you would just take an hour, we take an hour to go work out our bodies sometimes. We'll go for an hour-long walk. Have you ever considered just building in to your day an hour worth of prayer? And I like to do this in the mornings, personally. It reminds me of a joke about the guy that woke up in the morning and started praying, and he says this in his prayer: so far today, God, I've done all things right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent, and I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of this bed, and from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot more help. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. Yep, done pretty good so far, God. Day's about to get a lot worse, though. Well, the first thing is praise. The first step is praise. And, you know, I just want to tell you that the starting place for all of life and our needs is not our problems, but God. The starting place is God, not our problems. And I like to think about things in a contrast way. So I started thinking about, what is a prayer life that only focuses on what you're worried about? It just sounds like complaining to me or something, you know, like you're not bringing, I mean, that, Lord knows we've all been there before where all we can do is just you know, utter our problems. I mean, have you ever been in that place where there's so much pain in your life? The prayer need is so acute and just and painful, all you can do is just say, God, I need your help. Have you ever been there before? Just, God, I don't know how you're gonna do it. All you're just saying is, oh God, oh God, oh God. And what are we saying when we're doing that? You know, I think when we're saying that, we have to understand that our God is dimensionless compared to our problems. That means that he's more powerful than any of our problems, that he out-dimensions those things. In other words, our problems have ends to them, but God has no end to him. That you cannot exhaust God. Oh, God, I've said too much. I've prayed too much. No, you haven't. You can't exhaust the love of God. You can't exhaust who he is. And in fact, this reminds me of a psalm. And what I'd like to do tonight for the first couple of points is attempt to do some responsive reading. How many of you remember the hymn books back in the day? Okay, in the back of the day, now I didn't grow up, I wasn't saved in a church that really sang hymns out of a hymn book or anything like that. So when I came to CBC, it was my first interaction with a hymn book, believe it or not. And President Lednecki introduced us to responsive readings. I thought there were only songs in the hymn book. But if you turn to the back, there's these responsive readings. And like, you know, there would be one just in regular typeface, and that's what the speaker would say. Then there'd be one in bold, and that's what the congregation says. You remember those things, okay? Well, we're going to try that tonight, except I'm just going to have to trust you that you know where the bolded typeface is, okay? But I'd like to work through this passage in a responsive way. I'm going to read the first verse, and you're going to read the second verse. I'll read the third, you read the fourth, so forth, and so on, okay? I get one verse, you get one, and the next one, okay? So this psalm, when I think about praising God, what do we praise God for? What do we praise God for? Well, we praise him for his capacity. We praise him for all the things that he is and all the things that he can do and all the things that he does in us. So I love Psalm 103 for this very reason, because it focuses our attention on praise to God. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion.
Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Verse 9. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children.
With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts.
The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all.
Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty.
Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you, his servants who do his will.
Praise the Lord,
all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Can we just stop real quick and let's just praise the Lord? We don't have to wait to the end. Let's just stop and let's praise him. God, all of our prayers, all of our needs, our burdens that we carry personally, it begins with you, O Lord. We don't want to exalt our problems, Lord. We're exalting you over our problems, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. We're giving place to your presence. We're giving place to your power in our lives, Lord. Oh, that just means we're making room for you to do that which you want to do. Oh, God, have your way, Jesus. Have your way. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done, O Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. That's what peace stands for. Peace stands for praise. And I'd encourage you when you're doing this, you know, you take 15 minutes or so and you do nothing but just praise. Find a scripture that you can praise, that you can pray through. Much like this one, you know, you take it verse by verse and you say, oh man, that just hits me. People say, oh, I don't really want to read the Bible because it doesn't apply to me very much. You know what? Start just praying and personalizing those verses. I mean, separates the sins as far as the east is from the west. I tell you what, that'll get me praising God right there. Thank you so much, Lord. And R stands for repent or repentance. You see, praise gives place to God's presence in our lives. We open up to him. We begin believing his capacity and his goodwill to do those things. But once we give place to the presence of God, oftentimes he shines his spotlight into our souls, doesn't he? Have you ever been spending time with the Lord and you just, all of a sudden, you just feel like the Holy Spirit just starts saying, you know what? You might need to go talk to that person. You might need to repent of that. There's something that was selfish about that. Maybe you need to check your mind. I don't know about you, but that's how it happens for me. And I just have to spend some time I just sit there and go, you know what, Lord? I want to be pure before you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's what Jesus taught in the Beatitudes. I mean, when he shines a spotlight, that's when we turn to him. And I'm telling you that as my own personal example, because I want to tell you, when some people realize they have to turn from their ways, that's where they shut down. They run away at that point because the pain of conviction. But I want to tell you, there's a better way. And repentance just simply means that we're being honest with God and we're changing our mind and we're turning toward him instead of our way. It's not, you know, let me tell you what repentance is not. It's like the one man said, 6 days I live on my own and I live my own way. But then on Sunday, I pray for crop failure. That's not what repentance is. It's not showing up on Sunday and go, oh, God, forgive me for all the things I've done, you know. No, it's a changing of our minds. I like what Dr. Charles Harris said, our friend who teaches Sunday school here. And I remember one night he was praying and he said, you know when revival will come, the sign that revival has come. And he paused and I was thinking, well, what in the world is he going to say? When people are jumping up and down, when people are shouting in the altars, what's the sign? You know? And he said, the sign of revival is when people change their minds. You know, that's a challenge. Because I tell you, sometimes it's what we feel really good in a service and we feel clean, but then we walk out and we live the way we want to. That's not God's plan. It's not live the way you want to 6 days, and then on the seventh day, on Sabbath or on Sunday, you show up and say, oh, I'm just going to pray for crop failure, that all those seeds, that are bad seeds I planted aren't going to harvest. Psalm chapter 51 is probably one of the greatest psalms that I know of about repentance. It's a psalm of David. After the prophet Nathan came to him, after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he writes this prayer of repentance, and it's so rich and deep. And we're going to try this again tonight under the letter of R for repent. We're going to try another responsive reading. I'm going to read the first verse, and you read the second, so forth, and so on. Psalm 51 and verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
Against you, you alone.
Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me.
Yet you desired faithfulness in even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in the secret place.
Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Oh Lord, we offer ourselves to you, and as you shine, as the Holy Spirit shines the spotlight into our lives and convicts us, we just want to say that we want to be pure in heart. We want to change our mindset, Lord. Lord, for those that may be here in the fact of confessing their sin, Lord, just whispering it to you would be a monumental step. I just pray that we would just embrace that Spirit, because it's His way. It's His way. And when we submit ourselves to you like this, I believe it's honoring of the Lord. I believe that when we confess to Him that we want a pure heart, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, O Jesus. Help us, O Lord. O Lord, we're not going to see change happen in this country or our church or any other place without there being first a contrite spirit, a humble spirit, a repentant heart and mind, Lord. Help us turn our faces, set our faces toward you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. So we have praise, we have repentance, and we have A for ask, ask. Some believe that asking is all there is to prayer, but I want to tell you that prayer is all of the above and asking. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says this: "This is the confidence we have in approaching God." Imagine that we actually have confidence. We don't have to approach God in fear. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have asked of Him. God hears us. Reminds me of that funny story. There were two boys who lived with their grandma. They were about to go to bed, but before they slept, they prayed. The older son started to pray, and he prayed about the day that he had. He prayed about everything that he had done. And then the younger brother started praying and started to pray. He prayed much louder. He started shouting. He prayed much louder than the elder brother. He prayed for bikes and toys. And when he got finished, his brother, the older brother, asked him, "Why are you praying so loud? God's not deaf." And the younger brother responded, "Yeah, but Grandma is." Yeah, but God's not deaf, is He? He's not deaf. But I tell you what, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, I was sharing this with the staff this week, I believe, and there's Paul is praying for the Ephesians, and he says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I was telling the staff here, and I want to tell you tonight, the two words that stood out to me just in studying this prayer this week. Now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more, so God's the great multiplier, right? But He can do immeasurably more than all we, and it was like, felt like the Holy Spirit just bolded these words right in front of me. Ask or imagine. And how many of us have maybe been discouraged, so discouraged, dare I say, even in our prayer lives, that we've stopped asking and dreaming? Instead, we've become passive and accepting of whatever comes. But that's not how God has even told us we could be. He said no. I mean, if God's the great multiplier, you can't multiply zero. Whatever multiplied by zero is nothing. And God can do immeasurably more. than we ask or imagine. And I just want to simply use this verse as a way of reminding you that it's okay just to make your petitions known before the Lord. You don't have to know exactly what to pray. God just says, bring your burdens and lay them before me. Don't be so concerned about, do I got this all right? I don't know. God, here's what I'm just thinking. Here's what I'm praying. Here's what I'm asking you and believing you for. Here's what I'm dreaming for. Not just what I'm worried about. Here's what I want to see happen. These are the things I imagine. And I want to just challenge you this week. You write down three things that you haven't seen yet that you want to see from the Lord. And you just begin asking God to just, Lord, I'm just asking you. I'm putting this out there. I'm dreaming about this. I'm asking for it. And do that. You know, there's a difference between childish faith and childlike faith. Childish faith is selfish in nature, childish. But childlike faith is just simple, right? There's a difference between being childish and childlike. God calls us to have a childlike faith. That's a simple faith. That's a faith that just says, you know, here's what I'm asking you for, Lord. You don't have to overcomplicate things. It's just a simple request that you're making known to the Lord. And the final step is Y for yield. Yield. This is the final step. This is yielding. I like to teach my kids that yielding to God just simply means saying yes to Him. Because yield's a bit of a big word until you start driving. How many of you know what I'm talking about? My daughter's 14. I'm starting to teach her the rules of the road. The yield sign's coming a little slow, but I know it needs to speed up. But anyway, you understand that when you're taking driver's lessons. But if you don't have a concept for yielding, and I just simply like to say it's just saying yes to God even when it doesn't feel right. You're yielding to God. You're deferring to Him. That's what that means. I mean, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let's also keep in step with the Spirit. That's yielding. That's yielding to God. And I just want to tell you this. When you're yielding to God, understand this, that you may be a part of the answer to your prayer. You may be a part. You may be a part of someone else's prayer. You may be the answer to someone else's prayer. Have you ever run into somebody that you needed to share your faith with or encourage? And has it ever struck you that somebody may have been praying for you to do that very encouragement? Right? And so when we don't yield to God, I mean, I think He's going to make a way. He's going to bring that encouragement. But when He brings you that opportunity, you may be the answer to someone's prayer. And I like to say this, when it comes to yielding, God, give us a compass in our mind and a magnet in our heart. The compass in our mind tells us what to write. God cares about how we're living. I want to tell you that. God cares about our attitudes. He cares about our actions. And put a magnet in our hearts. That means, God, I want to draw close to You. It's this sense that I want to pray continually. I want to commune with the Father. A compass in our mind and a magnet in our hearts. So that's it. I want you to remember that this week. Challenge your friends, maybe if they're looking to how to deepen their prayer life. Let's all embrace this. These are all elements of prayer, and it's a really easy, memorable way you can take right into your devotions. You always begin with God before your problems. That's what praise is. You say, God, whenever You shine Your spotlight in my life, especially when I give way to Your presence, I'm going to repent. I'm not going to allow there to be unconfessed sins in my life. We got to keep short accounts with the Lord. And then I'm going to move into asking the things of the Lord. Don't forget that God can't multiply zero, but He can do immeasurably more than you ask or imagine. But let's have that childlike, simple faith that just simply asks Him and believes the Lord. And then finally, yield. Praise, repent, ask, and yield. I want to challenge you with that this week. I want to pray that, I mean, would you just believe God that we could get 750 people just praying and saying, God, help us just saturate this place with Your presence and just saturate our lives, our families need. How many of you commit to just being that kind of prayer warrior? Would you raise your hand if you're saying, you know what, I'm going to do that. Let's stand. Pastor Chad, why don't you come? Let's focus in on the Lord. I just want to walk through these really quick, and let's open up our hearts and our minds. Lord, we just thank You. We praise You. all of our soul, Lord. We remember all of your benefits, Jesus. Thank you for it. God, if there be anything in our lives that's not pleasing of you, we want to confess that to you, Lord. Wash us clean, we pray. Now we move to the asking part, and I'm not sure, but I do want to encourage you this very night, if you have stopped praying because you're just discouraged, I just want to ask you to keep giving God a chance to work. Don't give up. You say, well, I haven't seen any change. It might take years, my friend. But would you just pray, God, help me. Do whatever it takes to meet that need. That's what asking is. And then we move to yielding. Oh, let's just pray that prayer. May we all be the kind of vessels that just yield to the Spirit. We're yielding to you, Lord. We want your way, Lord. Help us decrease and you increase in our lives, oh Lord. Oh Lord, would you just take a greater place? We give you a greater capacity in our lives, Lord. We just want to take a step back so that you can be glorified through us, Jesus. Help us, we pray, oh God. Help us, we pray, Jesus. We yield to you. We think about all these prayers that we've made tonight and we've offered up to you. And Lord, we want to be the kind of church that just yields to you. Oh God, I just want to pray and ask, Lord, that we'd be the kind of faith community and church here that's known for just wanting and desiring to do your will, not to make a name known for ourselves, but just want to do what the Lord has commanded us to do. I just pray you'd saturate that prayer request all over this place. We want to be the kind of vessels that please you, Lord, and yield to you. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.